Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Journal Republican, reading stories dated December 3rd through December 9th, 2020. We'll start with the article headlined Downtown Business Owners Can Apply for Building Grants by Steve Hoffman, December 9th. Downtown business owners in Monticello have until December 15th to apply for building improvement grants as part of a revamped City and Monticello Main Street program. City officials say the new effort, which replaces the facade improvement and life safety grant programs, will be more uniform and has the potential of helping more building owners and tenants. One reason is the business district that is now in place. Funded by a 1% sales tax, it is estimated to generate about $200,000 annually in revenue, which can then be used for improvements within the downtown-based area. It's also more flexible than the previous program because it allows building improvements both inside and out. Previous programs focused on facade outside work as well as safety issues. The high point from Main Street perspective is that it's just so much more flexible a program in terms of what building owners can do. It used to be very outside focused in what people could apply for, and now it is a much broader scope, said Monticello Main Street Director Shelley Crawford Stock. City Community Development Director Callie Jo McFarland told the City Council when it approved the Building Improvement Program in September that it standardizes the grant applications and will also require the Council to approve grants through a formal ordinance instead of through the monthly claims process. It was kind of loosey-goosey before, said McFarland. It was subject to different interpretations. One director would say this was okay, another would say it wasn't, she told the City Council on September 14th. The first round of grants will be awarded in January, with reimbursement scheduled for July. Another change allows for two rounds of grants to be considered, one in January, the other in July, which I think is great because I think there are some projects that make more sense at other points of the year, added Crawford Stock. She added that although the application is pretty straightforward, it does require an estimate from a contractor. Additional information can be accessed at www.cityofmonticello.net/1414/monticello-building-improvement-program. Other information about the Business District Building Improvement Program. Redevelopment agreements between the applicant and the city are required before a grant is awarded. The City Council approves all program funds and can award beyond the limit of a 50% match up to $10,000 if it desires. Any applicant is limited to one application every 2 years. Preference will be given to locally owned, independent, and non-franchised or chain businesses. Franchises and chains are eligible, but will receive fewer points in the scoring system. A review committee that includes representation from the Monticello Chamber of Commerce and Monticello Main Street will recommend awards, and applications will be accepted twice per year, December 1st through 15th for January awards, and June 1st through 15th for July awards. This is a more formal and transparent program than we've ever had before. It's multi-agency involvement, it's public-private partnership, City Administrator Terry Summers told the City Council in September. County Board Opts for Morning Meetings in 2021 by Steve Hoffman, December 9th. The Piatt County Board will go back to 9 a.m. starts for all of its regular meetings in 2021 as a result of action taken at the December 9th board session. An initial proposal to include a pair of 7 p.m. meetings, which was done for the first time this year, was voted down 4-2, with Ray Spencer and Todd Henricks casting the only yes votes. Randy Schumard then motioned to revert back to all morning meetings, which was approved by a 4-2 vote, with Henricks and Spencer dissenting. Henricks, who was elected in December, said it was the first board he served on that holds meetings only in the morning, which he said potentially eliminates input from people who work during the day. I've never been on a board for the government that meets during the day while most people are working, said Henricks, a longtime member of the Cerro Gordo School Board. I understand that it's tradition, it's historic, it's what's been done. I wanted to voice that I don't get it, because very few other municipalities, whether it's a city or village, have meetings during the day. They meet at night, so people can be there, he added. Spencer countered that evening meetings come at a cost. One other consideration is that the staff that has to attend these meetings, office holders that attend these meetings, and also security for the courthouse, which is an added expense, said Spencer. Schumard asked that continue to broadcast meetings online, even after the COVID crisis ends, to give constituents another avenue in which to interact. Fellow board member Shannon Carroll liked that idea. Once we're out of the pandemic, hopefully sooner than later, if we're having day meetings, it does give the opportunity to the local community to participate on Zoom, said Carroll. He pointed to earlier in Wednesday's meeting when a zoning applicant was able to testify via video conferencing without leaving work. The board did not commit to continue the online offering for all of 2021, but Spencer said it could be considered in the future. I just want to make sure we are on firm legal ground for our attorney to advise us. We can readdress that. A point well taken, said Spencer. This year was the first in which the board scheduled two regular meetings in the evening. The first one was online only in May due to the COVID-19 pandemic, while the other in October was lightly attended. A survey of area counties shows a variety of county board meeting start times, including 9 a.m. in Douglas and Piatt counties, 5 p.m. in DeWitt County, 5:30 in McLean County, 6 p.m. in Macon County, 6:30 in Champaign County, and 7 p.m. in Ford and Moultrie counties. Guilty plea in three-year-old auto theft case by Steve Hoffman, December 9th. Some questions remain regarding an auto theft that occurred in Monticello 3 years ago, but a perpetrator pled guilty to the crime last week. Jesse Raymond Keith Young, now 26, of Shawnee, Kansas, pled guilty December 2nd in Piatt County Court to burglary, a Class 2 felony, and was sentenced to 3 years, minus 192 days already served, in the Illinois Department of Corrections. 2 years of mandatory supervised release will follow. The unique case started locally on August 10, 2017, when a 2002 Jeep Wrangler was stolen from the Monticello Township Cemetery, and a 2010 Nissan Rogue reported stolen from Overlook Park, Kansas, was left in its place. The next day, the Jeep was found destroyed by a train after having been hit by a freight train near Dyer, Indiana. The Jeep was unoccupied. On August 12, 2017, Illinois state troopers responded to a report of a disabled vehicle in Boone County, Illinois, finding a 1982 Chevrolet Corvette with an Indiana registration on it. That is the same county the stolen Jeep was found. Young was located near the Corvette, and police say items stolen from the Jeep were in his possession. He was arrested. From that point, Young was transferred across the various jurisdictions that had charged him with offenses, said Piatt County Sheriff Department investigator Tom Apperson. Finally, in May of this year, Young waived extradition and was brought back to Illinois to face the Piatt County charges. It's kind of an intriguing story, added Apperson. I always joke about writing a book someday. This would most certainly be one of the chapters. But the sheriff's deputy is still not sure why Young left that Nissan on those railroad tracks. I don't have an answer to that, and he won't share it with me, he said. Apperson said Young also faces charges in other jurisdictions. Q&A with Mike Walsh Memorial 5K Organizer, December 8th. There is still time to take part in the Mike Walsh Memorial 5K Run Walk, which is being done virtually December 11th through 13th. We asked organizer Julie Walsh Bruning, Mike's daughter, how it will work this year. Sign up is available at the Mike Walsh 5K Facebook site at www.facebook.com/groups/Mike Walsh 5K. Journal Republican, how will this year's run look? Julie Walsh Bruning, we're excited for this year's run. This is the first year that we're doing a virtual run, and we currently have the most participants we've ever had pre-register. It was scary at first to commit to virtual, but this is allowing people who are not close to participate, which is really fun. The community has also really stepped up this year to support the run, and we appreciate all the support that's been received so far. Journal Republican, you still have the race course marked in Bemento, right? Why? Walsh Bruning, yes, actually the course is still marked from last year. I don't think that the arrows ever truly fade away. The virtual event will take place from Friday to Sunday. The course will be remarked if any runners choose to run the course anytime over the weekend. I know a lot of runners like to go and run on different courses, so we wanted to give them the opportunity to run our course over the weekend while adhering to COVID restrictions and social distancing. We will also have our local business sponsors' signs present throughout the weekend to show support for them as they have done for us. Journal Republican, tell me about the run in general, how it started, how much it's raised, etc. Walsh Bruning, we started this event 11 years ago with a huge push and support from my husband. My family has always been active in Bement athletics. My brothers and I all were fortunate to be able to play athletics in college, and my dad was an integral part of helping make that happen for us. Dad was an active member of the Boosters and a proud supporter and volunteer with the school board. When Dad passed, we wanted to find a way to keep his legacy alive and giving back to the community. And after much thought and nervousness, the race was started. Journal Republican, typically about how many runners and walkers take place? Walsh Bruning, there are many variables that affect the turnout for the race. We have anywhere from 50 runners when we first started to over 100 so far this year. One year we got 11 inches of snow and we almost called the race off. Next thing you know, runners started showing up and we ran the race in the snow, dodging the snowplow. People still tell us to this day that was the most fun run they've ever participated in. Each year we keep adding more runners, most through word of mouth, and one running club has put us on their circuit to encourage their runners to finish the year off strong. Many runners have participated in multiple Mike Walsh runs over the years. We see participants grow up, come through the school system, go off to college, get married, have kids, etc. We like the runners to feel like they're part of our family and enjoy seeing them come back year after year. We hear a lot of, "This is our favorite race." Journal Republican, where do the raised funds go? Walsh Bruning, we've been fortunate with the support of everybody to help in multiple ways. We've been able to provide 9 scholarships to student athletes continuing their careers in college. We've helped purchase a new sound system for the gymnasium, uniforms and Chromebooks for the school. We helped local families pay off lunch debt last year, and this year we are donating to the Giving Tree. The Giving Tree is a program that helps Bement School provide gifts for families to help make their Christmas a little brighter. Anyone can go to their website and donate or sponsor a gift. Journal Republican, why do you keep doing this? Walsh Bruning, we continue to do this because we want to keep my dad's memory and legacy alive. He would want us to continue to be a part of and support to our community that we grew up in. He was my biggest supporter of my dreams, and I want to continue supporting dreams of all student athletes, just the way my dad did for me. Journal Republican, do you have anything else to add? Walsh Bruning, thank you to all of our support that we receive from the community. Without the support of our local small business owners, we would not be able to fund the scholarship. Thankfully, we also pull from businesses near and far that also support our little race. We appreciate all the donations we receive from monetary to post-race refreshments. We appreciate all the runners, non-runners, and volunteers that come out each year to run, walk, or help work our race. To those that come out and cheer on our runners, and to those who buy shirts just to support our scholarship, a huge thank you. Salvation Army needs bell ringers in Bement, December 8th. The Bement unit of Salvation Army is looking for volunteer bell ringers to staff kettles on the weekends of December 11th and December 18th. Kettles will be located at JTA Foods and the Marathon Service Station those two Friday evenings, December 11th and 18th, and midday to early evenings on those Saturdays, December 12th and 19th. Most bell ringing staffing in recent years has been provided by youth from local schools, and this year organizers seek additional assistance due to anticipated shortfalls in availability. masks, hand sanitizer, and social distance training will be added elements to this season's fundraising. Call 217-649-0925 to secure a bell ringing slot. Donations help many families locally, and the organization hopes to be able to do even more in 2020. Obituaries. Harvey L. Snell, 83, of Monticello, passed away on the evening of December 4th at his residence. A private family graveside service will be held at the Monticello Township Cemetery. Although the current COVID situation prevents us from gathering in person, please share in our celebration by remembering Harvey and keeping his memory alive. Memorials may be made to the Monticello St. Jude Run. Vincent Edward Sarge Sargent passed away at his home on December 5th. Due to the pandemic, there will be a private service at the Monticello Cemetery in Monticello with a celebration of life at a later date. Roger A. Perk Perkins, 55, of Monticello, passed away December 3rd at Carl Hospital, Urbana. A graveside service will be held 1 p.m. Thursday, December 10th, at the Monticello Township Cemetery. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Featured, Spencer Re-Elected County Board Chairman, by Steve Hoffman, December 8th. Three new board members sworn in. Ray Spencer was re-elected chairman of the Piatt County Board at its organizational meeting Monday. Nominated by Shannon Carroll and seconded by new county board member Randy Edwards, Spencer was elected by a 5-1 vote, with Randy Schumard voting no. Shannon Carroll was elected vice chairman, 4-2, with Schumard and new board member Todd Henricks voting no. Henricks made an effort to nominate Schumard, but at that point, Spencer had already nominated Carroll, a motion that was seconded by Gail Jones, the third new board member. County board officer terms are for 2 years. Jones, Edwards, and Henricks won terms in November and were also sworn into office. First positive COVID-19 tests reported at Piatt County Nursing Home, by Steve Hoffman, December 8th. The Piatt County Nursing Home has recorded its first 2 positive tests for COVID-19 among its residents. Nursing Home Administrator Scott Porter said the residents, who are roommates, were tested on Friday, with the results arriving Sunday morning. "It is hoped the infection is isolated to the 2 of them," said Porter. "We have them comfortable in our COVID unit, where they will remain for the 14 days of isolation." He added the nursing home will continue conducting twice-weekly facility-wide testing of residents and staff for the foreseeable future. 2 staff members also tested positive last week, bringing the overall total of staff cases to 7 during the pandemic. Piatt County recorded 35 additional positive tests Friday through Sunday, bringing its total this year to 892 cases, according to the DeWitt-Piatt Bi-County Health Department. DeWitt County added 20 positive cases on those 3 days and now has a total of 729 cases during the pandemic. The weekly number of Piatt County cases has been decreasing since a high of 253 were recorded between November 1st and November 7th. Since then, weekly totals have been 126, 101, and 74 for the week ending December 6th. Weekly totals for DeWitt County have been 76 November 1st through 7th, 74, 54, and 66 in the last 4 weeks. According to a weekly report released by the DeWitt-Piatt Bi-County Health Department, both counties reported decreases in weekly incidence rates, test positivity rates, and number of COVID-like illness hospital admissions for the week ending November 28th. Emergency room visits increased in both counties. Local Health Administrator David Remmert said he's pleased to see figures dropping, especially after Thanksgiving. "Our case numbers are going down at the moment. So far, we've not seen a post-Thanksgiving spike that would exceed the case numbers we were seeing several weeks ago," he said. Remmert was also happy with the turnout at a free testing clinic at the Health Department in Monticello on December 5th, with 115 getting tested. As time goes by, week of December 9th, 2020. December 9th. 100 years ago. December 1st, the fireproof garage changed hands as Ora O'Pike, who has been manager for 2 years, purchased the interest of John Pembroke of Champaign. The ground for the garage was broken in August 1916, and the two-story 60-by-80 fireproof building erected. Pembroke and Pike moved into the building on the southwest corner of Washington and Independence Street on February 1, 1917. The Monticello American Legion basketball team is scheduled to play against the fast Farmer City Page Fans team. It is planned for next Thursday night, December 9th, at 3 o'clock at Rhodes Hall on the Square. County officers elected at the general election of November 2nd will assume their duties next Monday with few changes. Mr. Duncan, circuit court clerk and recorder for the past 12 years, will again succeed himself. W.J. Porter, as coroner for the past 16 years, succeeds himself. Burl Eddy succeeds C.W. Firk in the Office of State's Attorney, and Willard Bauer succeeds W.J. Day in the Office of County Surveyor. For sale, Chester White Hogs, two sows with pigs, also one yearling boar. Pure blood stock, papers furnished. E.J. Collier, State Street Road, Monticello. The University of Illinois has, for free distribution in this state, a pamphlet called Rural Free Lunches that rural teachers should obtain. The plans provide for an oil stove and other necessary equipment. The staple supplies are provided in quantities by the different families of the district in a rotation manner. In Illinois last year, there was 346 schools that provided a hot lunch. Compiled by Roger Wise Garver. 75 years ago, the five sons of Mr. and Mrs. Robert Wrench were together Wednesday for the first time in 4 years. Harry was in the service 38 months, Gilbert, 38 months, Ralph, 36 months, Clyde, 34 months, and Homer, 32 months. All have seen overseas duty. Frank Ellis Jr. and Juanetta Gregory were married Sunday in the Methodist Church by Reverend Thomas Crumpy. Roy Ham Post, American Legion, is anxious for help from the public in securing a list of all servicemen now in government hospitals, regardless of whether they have been discharged from or are still in the service. In spite of the wave of colds and flu, Scout Troop 22 met in the high school gym with 18 scouts and 2 leaders present. The Bemet Unit of World War II Mothers will hold its annual poinsettia sale Friday and Saturday. Monticello American Legion Auxiliary needs sugar to make candy for Christmas for World War I and World War II veterans at Danville Hospital. Please bring your sugar donations to the Illinois Power Office or Burgess and Klein office before December 15th. Warren West of Bloomington has purchased the late E.A. Doss business here and secured a dealership for Pontiac cars. Compiled by Kay Gilbreth. 50 years ago, Monticello High School's concert and varsity bands will present their annual concert at 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, December 8th. Admission is free for the concert, which will be held in the Washington School Gym. Members of the Monticello JCs made final plans Monday evening for the various Christmas activities, which they sponsor every year in their community. These activities include the selling of approximately 500 Christmas trees, with the proceeds going toward another big JC project, the annual shopping tour for a group of children who otherwise would have no means of giving Christmas gifts to other members of their family. The adult recreation program will start Wednesday, December 2nd, 1970, and continue each Wednesday and Saturday through the end of March. The men's program consisting primarily of volleyball, basketball, swimming, and handball. Men will enter on the south side of the gym and use the east dressing room. An experimental women's program will be offered in December, consisting primarily of use of the exercise room and swimming pool. Feature at the Lyric, December 3rd through December 6th, The Undefeated, starring John Wayne and Rock Hudson. Compiled by Jack Stiverson. 25 years ago, volunteers spent Sunday afternoon lining the streets of Monticello with luminaries in preparation for the lighting on Sunday evening. Trucks loaded with plastic milk jugs sand, and candles could be seen on the square and some of the major streets in town. Anna Lee's Tea Room has a new address at 300 South Charter in Monticello. Karen Marie Robinson has been selected as the November Senior of the Month at Monticello High School. Karen, the daughter of John and Anna Robinson of Monticello, has been involved in a number of extracurricular activities during high school, including basketball, softball, student council, and cheerleader. 94 were present Thanksgiving Day to celebrate the 64th year of the Folk Family Thanksgiving Cousins Gathering, along with Mrs. Mabel Logan of Tuscola, who is the only survivor of the original organizers, at the home of Paul and Juanita Fleener of rural Hammond. 8 states were represented. 5 generations of the family were present, with Mrs. Logan, who is 85 years old, the oldest, and Evan Bryan, who is 6 weeks old from Anderson, Indiana, the youngest. Evan is a great-grandson of Paul and Juanita. Compiled by Deanna O'Reilly. As Time Goes By is researched and provided by the Piatt County Historical and Genealogical Society. Attorney-turned-author, Simpson cranks out 375-page novel, by Steve Hoffman, December 4th. After retired public defender Roger Simpson's path as an author took a turn, he quickly churned out a 375-page work of fiction this year. I've always wanted to write, but didn't foresee it being a novel. I wanted to write columns, essays. Give me a topic and I'll write an essay. That's what I thought, said Simpson of Monticello, who also served 3 terms as Piatt County State's Attorney before his long tenure as a public defender. But in a twist reminiscent of most things in 2020, Simpson ended up writing a novel, The Truth and Hope, which is available through him directly and at Hartfield Book Company in Monticello. The switch to more long play writing came as he solicited advice on writing. Write what you know, he was told. And Simpson knows courtrooms and investigators, having spent decades in those environments as both a prosecutor and defense attorney. He now terms himself 80% retired as a barrister. The novel takes place in both the North Shore of Chicago and the Northwoods of Wisconsin, contrasting both the scenery and cultures of the different landscapes. Other themes include wealth and power in the judicial system, a slight exposé of legal systems in the Windy City, and the sexual abuse of children. Except for Hartfield, The Truth and Hope is available only through direct sales by contacting Simpson at 217-308-2754, or by email at raspinhahi@yahoo.com. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. This has been Paula Kaufman with the Journal Republican, with stories dated December 3rd through December 9th, 2020. Please stay safe. I look forward to reading with you again soon.